there. This is Jo McGarry. Welcome to our podcast. A little different from Radio Mojo, the radio show. The podcasts are meant to be a more private, more intimate, more in-depth look behind the scenes with our guests, and continuing to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. If you want to know more about what we do and our work specifically with restaurants and food clients, then you can go to our website, mojomcgarry.com, and this podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or any of the other places where you like to get your podcasts. Enjoy, and thanks for being with us. I'm with Dave Newman. I would normally say I'm at Pint and Jigger with Dave Newman, but those of you who know that there's kind of a little addition to Pint and Jigger, and has been for quite some time. And I came to chat with Dave today about Harry's, because it's the most innovative and most exciting place to drink in Honolulu at the moment. How are you, Dave?
I'm excellent, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm good. It's so nice to see you. So from the outside, it looks like Pint and Jigger's had, you know, a building permit up for a year and a half or 2 years. What's going on inside?
So we actually opened on Repeal Day, December 5th. We were very fortunate. Pint and Jigger won recognition from Playboy magazine as one of the top 5 bars in the country to celebrate Repeal Day, which is coming up. So if you get a chance to come down and join us, you should. But we wanted to get open last year on December 5th for Harry's Hardware Emporium, and we pushed hard and got it open. So from the outside, it looks like a closed hardware store. You got to enter through Pint and Jigger, and you'll just be transported to 1925 New Orleans, Chicago. We're just having a lot of fun with the cocktails and the beverage program in there.
Is a speakeasy something that you'd always wanted to do?
It was a concept that I've had for a while. It seemed like the timing was right to do it in Hawaii. It seems that there's been a few popping up here recently, so.
Well, that's because you're trendsetters. I mean, as soon as you open Pint and Jigger, everyone started to open craft pubs, right?
I'm not sure about that, but I feel like we just got lucky on the timing with craft beer and craft cocktails.
No, you did it very well, and you had, you know, you're always very modest, but you are a leading force in the bartending industry, and you always have been, and it's something that I know you take very seriously, and you're very proud of what you do and of the people that you influence. So I think being in this position of having Harry's Hardware and this fantastic, I mean, it truly is like a speakeasy. For someone who hasn't been, describe it to them, like the whole process of how, I mean, you can't like call up and make a reservation, right?
Sort of. We have a number you can text, 379-3887. The host will get back to you, you know, text how many people, what time you want to come in. If we can accommodate you, we definitely have regulars and people that have been coming for the last year, you know, they've been making reservations weeks ahead of time. So mm-hmm. If we can accommodate you, get a text back that will give you a password, confirming your reservation, some details on how to get in, you know, check in with the host, what to wear, and what to expect.
So do you have a dress code, too?
We don't have a strict dress code. I will say that if you come in dressed incredibly casual, you will feel out of place.
It's because it's kind of an event, right, for people to come to. So the interior of it is, it's fabulously done. When I was here a few weeks ago, I said to your co-owner, Hideo, it's the closest thing I've seen in Hawaii to a real like bar in Scotland. Obviously, I always relate everything back to where I'm from. It's so well done. I mean, it looks like the interior of, you know, a very old bar. I mean, you said New Orleans, Chicago, that kind of thing. For me, I think Scotland, Edinburgh. I mean, it totally has the look, but it's all just deception.
Absolutely. I mean, Hideo is a genius with the build-out. I pitched in where I could, but he's thoroughly responsible for most of the work in that bar. And we designed it together, built everything together. It's amazing to have an idea or a concept in your head of what something you would hope it would look like. It got incredibly close to the vision I had in my head, so I'm incredibly happy with it.
Yeah, it's so well done. I mean, congratulations. None of it's a surprise to everyone who knows you that you've done something so extraordinary, but it's really fun. And the drinks and the cocktails are indicative of the kind of time and the style of the bar, or super contemporary?
They're a combination of both. We're doing things in that bar I've never seen anybody else do before, and we're also trying to nail down the classic recipes in the best possible style as we can. The glassware is all vintage, thrift store shops, estate sales, antique shops. I've had a blast doing it, but it's really fun to go out and try to source those things that make the space authentic.
What are some of the cocktails that you're serving? Like tonight, for example, if someone's coming for the first time and they say, okay, I want something that's really different and really unique, what are you going to be making then?
For something different and unique, our ultimate highball is just mind-blowing. It's such a simple drink, whiskey and soda water. We use an amazing Japanese whiskey, but the thing that we do that just pushes it over the top, we dilute the Japanese whiskey just a little bit with a little bit of saline, because there's not a lot of minerality in the water in Hawaii. So just dilute it a little bit, and then we carbonate the whole thing. So you're not actually drinking a highball. You're drinking a carbonated whiskey. And with an amazing Japanese whiskey like Hokushu 12, it's just mind-blowing.
So the world of spirits is changing, I think, rapidly right now. It's almost like it was the same forever, and then single malt scotch caught on like 15 years ago, and people were like, oh my gosh, we don't have enough, let's start making it. Then some copycat people came along, and you saw a lot of spirits that I think were questionable, right? There was a lot that were made just for the quick sale. There was a lot of startups because they just wanted to sell. Now I think things are settling down, and there's some really good quality, like Japanese whiskey, for example.
Absolutely.
Are you seeing the same, like throughout spirits, that the quality thing is winning, that people really want quality over?
Definitely, and I think the supply and demand sorts that out. And there's a reason why the huge brands are still here. They already went through this once or twice in the past. There's a reason why Tanqueray and Beefeater are still just gigantic brands of gin. They're amazing. They're really, really good. They set the standard for that category. And at one point, there was a bazillion gins. Mm-hmm. And then people whittled them down to the ones that they really liked and had consistent quality. I think a lot of the problem with the smaller distilleries is what you get out of one bottle isn't going to be the same as what you get out of the next bottle on another run. But these giant companies have figured it out, and they're still in business with consistency. And now that trend is spread through mezcal, it's spread through Japanese whiskey. So right now the quality of spirits that we can get is just amazing.
And you're right, it does take them a while. I mean, even the Japanese, like 20 years ago, Japanese attempting to make whiskey, I didn't like it.
Not so good.
Even 10 years ago, it was okay. Now it's award winning. You can't deny that they're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even when I was working at Nobu 8 years ago, I couldn't sell Japanese whiskey to save my life. Mm-hmm. They turned the corner. They started getting recognition. People started realizing how amazing it is. And now I buy as much as I can get. Yes. I can't get my hands on any.
How are we doing in the industry in Honolulu? I mean, largely from people like yourself being highly involved, Honolulu just has such a fantastic reputation as a place for mixologists and great bartenders. The Hawaii Food and Wine Festival, I think, has helped put it on the map tremendously. This year, I spoke to many people who'd come, chefs who'd come, a couple of them who worked with you, actually. They couldn't say enough about how fantastic it was. Are we still, like, cutting edge? Do you think that we're as good as we were a couple of years ago? Are people still coming in and being innovative?
I think now even more so than 5 years ago. We've always been a few years behind what's going on in the mainland, whether that's just being able to get products. I'm starting to sell a lot of sherry. San Francisco was selling a lot of sherry 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we're always a few years behind on that side, but people like Justin Park and Christian Self and Alicia Yamachika and Andrew Woodley, you know, we've had some amazing imports, Jen Ackrell up at Tapa Waikiki. So the talent level is just going through the roof. And we're all pushing each other, like, mm-hmm. and then we send each, you know, guests back and forth to each other. It's a pretty amazing community. I think at this point, it's one of the better communities in the country. We have the top-notch bartenders without the incredible, ruthless competition. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear Alicia talking bad about Andrew Woodley or anybody. Like, we're just very supportive, and everybody's pushing for the same goal.
You've always been very driven, I think, by your passion for this industry and your just real true love of what you do. now that you're doing the things that you saw happening, that you're sort of creating your dreams, making your reality, is it still as exciting for you? Is it even more exciting because you get to do it every day?
I'm more excited. The experience I'm getting to have now has completely reinvigorated me for bartending in Harry's. I always train my staff, if there's any possibility, to just completely blow one guest out of the water. Like, I want one person that sits down at Pint and Jigger to leave that, or a couple or threesome or whoever it is, I want them to leave there saying that was the best bar experience they've ever had. Mm-hmm. And Pint and Jigger is incredibly busy, so sometimes we're just making drinks as fast as we can, but it you can't help but that spill over to the guest next to them and do it to multiple guests. In Harry's, I get the opportunity to do that to everybody who walks through the door. And we're getting enough time to spend customizing cocktails and creating an experience for everybody. It's amazing. I love it.
It's really incredible that you are so driven just by that pure desire to please other people, people that you don't know, often complete strangers. I find it really incredible and really, it's quite moving actually that you can see that the drive in you, you can see the passion in you. It must be kind of fun, especially now that it's Harry's, because you're so close to the people, you're right at that bar. And it's such a different experience. It's almost like you've elevated people to come up and appreciate the cocktails as you always have.
I never really looked at it that way, but in a way you're right. And I think the amount of love and time that we put into the build out, like to watch people's eyes light up when they walk through the door, it's like you've already pretty much won. From that point, it's easy.
It's theater, right?
Yeah, and that's why we like have a giant block of ice in the back bar that we get to hand carve while you're, to make your drink with. Just all those little details, I just think just make it an overall experience, not so much just I'm going out to get a drink. We're trying to create an experience.
And, of course, this is such a boring question nowadays, but I still find it one that I love to ask is, end of the night or end of the stressful work week or whatever, what are you doing? Like, what are you reaching for? Where are you going? What's the truly relaxed Dave Newman have in his hand at the end of the night?
So I have three answers. Okay. If it was the most stressful and craziest night, it's a crappy shot of whiskey and a crappy beer. We're grabbing a High Life or a banquet beer, mm-hmm. and a shot of Jameson. It's not a crappy whiskey, but if we've had an amazing night and everything clicked and we just had a great night, we'll crack open a bottle of champagne.
Nice.
And then on a regular, just standard evening, we still drink a shot of Fernet. Everybody will do a shot of Fernet, and then I'm a red wine guy, so it's nice to finish off a bottle that people have left.
There you go. It's a lovely thing. If you haven't yet been to Harry's Hardware and Emporium, and if you don't even know where it is, find Pint and Jigger. You must have been under a rock if you don't know where Pint and Jigger is. It's right next door. Everyone will tell you how to get the special number. Shall we give it to them or not?
Yeah.
We shall?
808-379-3887.
Call that one and then they'll tell you how to get here. It's so lovely to see you. I'm so impressed always by your passion and for what you do for the industry here. So thank you for taking the time to chat with us, Dave.
Oh, thanks for coming down. Can't wait to make you a drink in Harry's.
I can't wait to have one. Thank you. Hey, thanks for being with us. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more information, remember, go check out our website, mojomcgarry.com. We'll see you next time.